But if you look under any post, any joke where I mention that I am Muslim, if you look under it, you're going to see I'm called the N-word a good amount of times. You're going to see that someone is saying that I don't have any, you know, it's like, you know, they're going to judge me like, oh, look at her. I mean, it's the very reason why I named my special Hijabs Off. It's the very reason why I have to bring levity to that. It's the very reason why I have to write jokes about it. You know, I mean, racism and sexism, prejudice exists.
I know that everyone is arguably well aware of what's happening in the Middle East. And I think that it seemed pretty apropos and obviously serendipitous that I have comedian Zainab Johnson on the podcast today. She is a Muslim woman, and we don't get into the particulars of the war. We talk about her comedy special, but she does share a perspective that, if I am honest, I was not aware of. Welcome Zainab Johnson to the podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the driving to work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. Got a champion and carry champion, that girl you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with
us. Affirming. That's the title of this podcast. Affirming with Zainab Johnson. Zainab is an actress, a comedian, and a beautiful person inside and out. And the reason why I use the word affirming is because I remember Zainab when she was on her come up, because I was on my come up. And I would bump into her at the Comedy Store when she would go up for sets just to try to, you know, work on her craft. At the time, I don't necessarily think she was acting, but I'm sure she did a short here and there. She was just a part of a group of us LA kids who were trying to make it, in air quotes. Clearly in my profession, I was trying to be the journalist that I ultimately became, but I was working small markets, which would be the equivalent of going up on a comedy stage here and there, hoping to work on my craft, my set. You know, that's what the comedians say. And I would see Zaynab and think, gosh, she's so beautiful. Gosh, she's so smart. Gosh, she's so funny. I can't wait to see her pop. And over the years, I've watched her get roles here and there. And for many people who have just learned who she is, you might think, oh, wow, this is a new face on the scene. She's an overnight success. But I can testify that it was a good 10 years ago where she and I were splitting, you know, a chicken sandwich. And by that, I mean not making no money and trying to make it. Not chicken per se. So today, when she comes on the podcast or when she gets booked on the podcast, I'm really excited. I'm thinking to myself, I can't wait to catch up with her. I hope she remembers me. Of course she does, but you just never know. And Zaynab is a first. She just recently debuted her very first one-hour special, Hijabs Off, and that's on October 24th. So y'all can go get it now. Watch it now on Prime. Celebrate her now on Prime. And you're going to want to hear about her journey. I think it's interesting to hear about a woman, a Black Muslim woman, who grew up with 12 siblings, 13 in all, in Harlem, and how she found her way to Los Angeles to make it in the big leagues, whatever that means, whether that be famous, whether that means be a famous actress or a comedian. She moved here in her early 20s to make it. And of course, she did. We talk about that. We talk about her life as a Black Muslim woman in this country. We talk about her special, which incorporates all of that. But more importantly, we come together on a common goal, which is the fact that looking at her and her success and where she came from, me visually seeing that, is affirming. Welcome Zaynab Johnson to the podcast, y'all. Zaynab, this is a beautiful moment. Not that I didn't think that you were always this talented and you'd be doing all these things, but by way of background, you and I were on our grind together in different roads, right? I'm trying to do my TV thing, you're doing the comedians, and I'm always thinking, I was like, gosh, she's just so beautiful. Why doesn't she model? I know people tell you that all the time, right? That was a thing for a while, and I was just like, and you. Because you were so and still are so beautiful, I know that people find it distracting, but I just remember thinking when you would always perform, when I was in the Comedy Store with you and with Kendra, my best friend, and seeing you perform, I always just like, she's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. And so here we are, a beautiful moment.
Yeah. The special Hijabs Off is on Prime. And do I feel successful?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say I feel successful. I feel like every day I am moving forward, and that in and of itself is a success. And then you have these wonderful like milestones, these things that you set out to do. And then when you do them and you release them to the world, it feels like, oh, okay, this is like a bigger day, but still like a day, you know? That you get to cross off as a moving forward in a win. So yeah.
So Hijabs Off on Prime, released October 24th. Congratulations on all of your success. I want to begin with what I did not know. And you talk about this in your special, I'm aware of, but I did not know that you grew up with 12 siblings.
I feel like me talking about my family and how I'm from like a large family, I feel like they're almost like 70% of my material. Like to the point where I'm like, I have to thank my mom. I'm like, thank you for having so many of us. Cause if like, maybe I wouldn't have any material if it wasn't for the choice you made.
12 is a lot. Where do you rank? Are you middle? Are you towards the end? Are you the last?
I'm in the middle. I'm the fifth from the top. So I'm the oldest of the middle bunch. Because it's like, it's 13 of us. So you could really break us into threes, right? Like into three parts. And so I am the oldest of the middle batch. So I don't even know what that means. It means that I kind of have middle child-isms, but I also know how to act like the oldest child too.
So when you are one of 13 total,
yeah,
how does that make you separate and different and separated from others? I know that you notice how people move if they're only children versus people who have two siblings. How does that make you?
I would say I have two very specific qualities that I believe come from me being from a part of a large group, which is I am constantly seeking to be by myself. Like, to the point where if I'm talking to my friends and it's like, oh, yeah, let's get together. And they're like, oh, Zainab, you got a new house. Should we come to your place? I'm like, no. I'll come to you. That way I can leave when I want to. I don't have to worry about waiting for people to leave. Like, I am constantly wanting to be by myself, right? I know how to socialize. I know how to interact with so many people. I know how to divide my attention. But ultimately, at the end of it, I'm just like, my own little space. My leftovers are still in the refrigerator. Ain't nobody in the bathroom. I'm going to be able to just go as soon as I get home. You know, like, yeah, exactly. But then the other thing is, like, I know how to, like, give people attention. Like, I know it's weird because I'm a stand-up comedian and you get on stage and it's like all about you. But it's not really. I think that's what makes me really good at being like in the moment and navigating with the crowd, because I'm like, yeah, I know how to divide my attention between a whole bunch of people and be diplomatic with it. And, you know, like, I think it's like a helpful skill that I picked up.
Mm-hmm. When you say you thank your mom because she's giving you so much material, I read, and you obviously talk about this too, but you loved play basketball growing up, right? This was a thing for you. This was your dream, your passion when you were a teenager.
Yeah. One of them. I did play basketball. I loved playing basketball. And I don't know, maybe when I was in high school, the WNBA came about.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was an exciting possibility. And then I got hit by a truck, and then my plans the way that I thought my life would go was kind of redirected. And I often, it's crazy because I often think like, is my life better or worse now? You know, I think it's so interesting. I mean, we'll never know unless I have like one of those kinds of like Scrooge moments where three people come to visit me from the past, the present, and the future and show me what my, you know, like, but I'm like, wow, I wonder if, you know, if that never happened, would I be a comedian? Like, what would be my life?
You got hit by a truck. Do you talk about that often, or can we talk about it? You said I read, it could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, you broke two legs. And so it really messed up the trajectory. Okay. So how'd that all happen?
Oh, I'm totally talking about it now, making light of it and turning it into jokes now on stage, which is so interesting because I always start with a statement. You know, I always start with a statement that really puts the audience on edge. Like, wait a minute, what's about to happen? And then I kind of reverse engineer it with jokes. I got hit by a drunk driver. I was pushing the back of a car. I was outside of the car and I was pushing the back of a car, and the drunk driver, unfortunately, slammed into us. And I had a lot of injuries, broke both my legs in multiple places, spent the rest of my high school senior year in the hospital, and some time after that had to learn to walk again, like all of it, you know. But I think, honestly, Carrie, I think it's made me like so much stronger, because I think in moments where, you know, I'm feeling any sort of like doubt or fear or like, I don't know, maybe I can't do this, I'm like, well, a truck ain't keep me down. Like, a truck ain't hold me down. You know, a truck ain't take me out. So you not choosing me ain't going to take me out. Me not getting a certain job ain't going to take me out. You know what I'm like? I think it really does, no pun intended, ground me. you know?
Yeah, right. In every possible way. Yeah. Well, and that is arguably something that I don't know. If I'm sitting in the hospital most of my senior year of high school and after, I think that forces you to become more wise and mature in other ways. You can either crack to it or you can understand it. How did your family help you get through that?
My family, they were helpful in the sense that they did not baby me or coddle me. It was like, here's the thing about being a part of a large family is I'm the comedian, but they all believe they're funnier than me. Right. So I just got a lot of jokes, you know, like I remember one of my younger brothers saying to me, like when he saw the scars on my leg, saying to me like, oh, yo, them is your legs. Yo, your legs is crazy. Them joints look wild. Like, I ain't know your legs look like that. Right. And right before I could even feel bad about it, he was like, but nah, dead ass, if I wasn't your brother, I'd holler at you. And I'm like,
okay, I'm cute.
That's support, you know, that's real support. Like, I see that. But if I didn't love you like how I love you, I would still, you know, I still try and get with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but what did help me through like the hospital experience was, I think it was the first time just getting hit by a truck. I think it was the first time that I realized that I was like just a small part, a very, very small speckle in this world. And, you know, as like a teenager, you can feel like the world revolves around you. You can feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like everything rises and sets on you. Your world is so mass, but it made me feel really small in two ways. One, the other girl who was in the accident with me, her leg was amputated. And so that was immediate perspective right there for me. Like, oh, yeah, I think this is terrible, but that's worse, you know? And then when I went into a rehabilitation hospital in New York, all the kids there were dealing with cerebral palsy. They were dealing with all of these, like, these lifelong illnesses. And they were such small kids and in such distress and pain and couldn't even, you know, it's like, yeah, from the waist down, I was kind of hindered, but I was still kind of like, you know?
Yeah. And so it just, yeah, you're moving.
Yeah. I was moving. Yeah. I was talking. I was thinking. I was still experiencing high levels of joy, you know? And so that really put things into perspective for me. And I think just really sent me off in my healing and also my constant awareness of like gratitude.
That's beautiful. I think perspective is beautiful. And I think if you were able to have it in the moment, that's even more special. We have to pay some bills. Y'all understand what I'm saying by that. Normally I ask you to press that fast forward button, fast forward. So you just do that and we'll be right back in just a few moments.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. Got a champion and carry champion. That girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
Hey, everybody. I appreciate you so much. Welcome back to the podcast. I have more with Zainab Johnson. You then have, what I'm getting at is that I noticed that you've had a few things in your life that really put you on this trajectory to be a comedian, because from my understanding, that's not necessarily what you wanted to be growing up. You were a fan of it. You and your mother was in theater. You rehearsed lines with your mom. I don't know if someone grows up, especially, you know, and, you know, someone says, I want to be a comedian. And you had some life altering experiences that led you here. Would you say your father's passing was one of those?
I think my father's passing definitely led me to California. Like, I was probably like 23 years old, I think. And my friend was like, who at the time may have been like 22. She was like, I'm moving to LA to be famous. And I think the thing that, it sounds ridiculous, right?
You're right, but it's I'm going to say this.
Yeah, okay. But wow. It's so funny. People declare that every single day and get in their car or on a bus, or on a plane, whatever. And while I think I would have eventually made it out here, I think my father's passing really put the fire under my behind. Like, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. His death was sudden. You know, my father wasn't sick. He wasn't old. It was sudden. And so it made me feel like, tomorrow's not promised. So you better try and do everything you can today. You know, and so that was the thing that really pushed me to do it. Also, Carrie, you know, you can't have your friend. I mean, Kendra's good because you're just big personality in the world, and this name and face and voice and perspective that everybody knows, you know. But I was thinking, I can't be the friend of the famous person. I got to be famous too, you know. So that was also motivation.
People be famous too. So you guys, yes. You moved here, and what do you do when you move to LA? I love these stories.
I mean, you get on Actors Access, you sign up for any casting thing that you try to figure out, like, okay, what's my place? You know, like, do I go to a dramatic acting class, a scene study class, or do I go into like the Groundlings or, you know, UCB? Like, you try to figure it out. I was doing all of that. Like, I was in a scene study class. I was doing, you know, improv classes, and really not even just so much just to have a little bit of skill, but also to make friends. You know, LA can get so lonely. And it's like, I did have my one close friend, but it's like, I realized that wasn't enough. Like, you need to get out there and meet people, you know? Then I walked. I will say this was probably the thing about me that I'm sure most people don't do when they come out here is walk. I'm a New Yorker. I'm used to walking. I can walk for hours and days with my eyes closed. And to like fill the time and learn the city, I would just walk from Los Feliz, from Echo Park or Silver Lake, all the way to Beverly Hills, all the way to Santa Monica, all the way. Wow. And I would discover new things. Like maybe one day the walk would be about like, ooh, I'm going to discover like a fun new cafe somewhere that I can get like a good cheap bite to eat. Oh, but today I'm going to walk and I'm going to go into three open houses, you know, like really like that's really what helped me learn a city and kept me occupied.
For people who are listening and they are not from Los Angeles, a walk from Los Feliz to Beverly Hills, I'm going to say hours. I don't know, an hour or two. Like that's a cool 45-minute drive with traffic. So You are walking and learning the city. And I think that's smart. I think that is arguably the best thing you can do. As someone who now spends a lot of time in New York, I walk more too. It's the thing. You just walk. Walks. When I want to get an Uber, they're like, what you mean? It's only 20 blocks. I'm like, it's only 20 blocks. I'm from LA. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's a beautiful thing. And when you were looking for work, where did you work? Like, and as you signed up for all the resources to help you be, you know, in this game, where did you work in the meantime to supplement the strength?
I worked at a spa at first because I went to school. I have a degree in education and math. And so I was substitute teaching at first.
Mm-hmm.
The quickest way to get in substitute teaching in LA, I realized, is to go to like camps, which are really kind of jails.
Yeah.
And so I realized like, oh, okay, I'm going to a jail today. Like, yeah, they're the people that the kids that I'm teaching are boys like under 18, but they're still like locked up, you know? And after doing that a couple of times and having some incidences happen, I was like, okay, I didn't leave New York to put myself in danger, you know? And so I was like, okay, let me find another program. And so I did two things. I got in with this woman, I believe her name is Lee Curran, and she ran this wonderful arts program. So when I moved here, this was at the time where all the school, LA, what's the school system here? The public school system. LA Unified, they were losing all of their programs, like any of the arts, the gyms, you know, that they were losing all of the budget cuts. And so then there was this wonderful outside program that started in New York. And so she moved it to LA. And what she would do is bring artists into the classroom and we would teach. We would teach, you know, improv. We would teach art. We would teach theater, you know. And so I was doing that, but also working at a spa.
Okay.
And those are the two things that, you know,
that's nice. Maybe a little spa, maybe get a massage because you know you get a discount. Maybe a little facial or product. Yeah, a little bit of both. Yeah. I too worked in a spa all throughout college. So yes, I love it.
Really? What spa? Was it a spa in California?
Yeah, Burke Williams. Girl, what Burke Williams are you at? Shut the front. Girl,
I worked at the Burke Williams right on West Hollywood. It's not, right on Sunset and West Hollywood. It's not there anymore.
It's not. I worked at the original one in Santa Monica off of Third Street Promenade.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
I love this. We can offline about who might have been your boss back in the day. Did you ever meet the owners? Were the owners around? Was a woman named Karen around? You don't remember so long ago.
I can't remember. My memory is bad. I wasn't there super long, but my memory is not that great either. But I do remember that location used to get a lot of celebrities, and that was like the thrill of it, you know?
Yeah, the thrill of it, like seeing people coming for a massage. Okay, that's so funny. Then I don't know when was the time I met you, but I believe the time I met you, you were working the circuit, like you were working. And I knew that Kendra Carter, who I've mentioned on this program before, because every time I have a comedian come on my show or on my podcast, I have some weird form or fashion. I know them, like Hassan Minhaj. You know what I mean? And I saw him, you know, he put a congratulations post up for you, I think the other day, which I thought.
He told you? He was like, no, well, I saw it and I was like, oh, that's so sweet of you, Hassan. And he was like, oh, my sister was at your taping. And I was like, Oh, I didn't even know. It's so many people. It's a good amount of like my peers who tell me like, yeah, my brother or my sister or my cousin was at, or my spouse was at your taping. And I'm like,
yeah, how
so wonderful. Yeah.
Okay. So with that being said, I don't know. Tell me, do you think it's weird or odd or strange? I think it's so, and it's not, I don't have the words. I'm looking for the word. I don't have it yet to describe it. But during our come up years, there are so many of us, I think, whether it's different, you know, like I said, different disciplines. I'm a broadcast journalist. I love sports. You're a comedian, you're an actress. But our come up years, people have actually done the thing. You know what I mean? They have pursued the dream and you've seen them accomplish things in a very successful manner, whether that be Hassan or you or Tony Baker. You know, I think it's really special. And I really want to know, does everyone have a circle like that? Do you think of your friends that moved here or that you've met along the way who've tried to achieve this dream? And I don't necessarily need you to describe the dream, but the make it dream, the come to Hollywood to be here and have a passion and love something and then really do it at the highest level. Do you find it fascinating when you look around and see your peers who have done that, when you watch them come up along with yourself?
More than I find it fascinating, I find it affirming.
Hey, like, amen.
I find it affirming. Like, I was doing an NPR interview and the journalist asked me about Hassan, and I remembered in that moment we were new faces at JFL together. You know, today as I was talking to my friend Sydney about you, I'm like, you know, I remember seeing Carrie on the red carpet. You know, like I remember that. Like,
remember?
yeah. You know, I think of my very, very close friend who has shared her story with the world, but Tabitha Brown. I would imagine that you're familiar with Tabitha Brown.
Yes.
And I just love when she posts like her face. I'm not this type of person. I'm not like the person that's going to declare something online and forget about it. I'm much more private in that way, you know, but she'll repost like something from 15 years ago where she said, you know, I want this. And it's so specific to her life now. And it's so like, I remember the day I met her. I remember sitting on the phone with her and consoling her through a job, a 9-to-5 that she wasn't the Uber driving that she talks about where her first video went viral. I remember being like, Tabitha, I'm so worried you're in an Uber. Like, be safe. I remember. And so now it's just like it really is like our dreams are coming true. And so it's affirming. And for the people who are in my circle who feel they haven't quite touched that yet, I hope that they're seeing us, if it's me or whoever, you know, as examples that like you just keep at it, you know, and you'll have success.
It's affirming. You know? I love that. That's a beautiful word. I didn't have it. Affirmation of I'm moving. I'm on the same path that I'm supposed to be on. And I love that I have attracted people who have that same energy, who have that same dream, and they're living their dreams the way in which I am. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And there are so many that I can think of. Some escape me, some don't. But I do think it's beautiful for me to witness. I celebrate your success. I really do.
Thank you. And you too. Oh my God. I'm going to be honest with you, Carrie. I think I thought you were already successful. Like, I do celebrate your success, but it was like I was looking at you like, yeah, she's already successful. Look at her work, you know? So, I mean, I celebrate your continual success.
I receive that.
But what is fascinating is how many different lanes we find ourselves in. You know, I don't think that when I used to watch you host, do interviews, I don't think that I knew you were into sports. I don't think I knew that, you know?
Yeah.
And then to find that out in this huge way is just, that's what's fascinating to me. You know, it's fascinating that when I met my friend Tabitha, she was famous for making these turkey legs. Like in the friend group, it was these turkey legs. But the very thing that kind of catapulted her was the change in her diet. You know, like that's fascinating to me. Watching Tony Baker, because you mentioned him, watching him and knowing what my favorite jokes are of his and watching him as a comedian, but then seeing the world really gravitate towards him being the voice of animals. You know, like it's really just fascinating to see the many different lanes that we are creating for ourselves.
I think in that same vein, in talking about your special, which released on Prime, Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah, it's available now. It's available now.
Go on and watch, y'all. Yeah, I know y'all subscribed to Prime.
Watch it.
He drops off. Why that title? Without giving away everything, why that title? And what does it summarize or what does it encapsulate for you?
Yeah, Hijabs Off is quite literal on one part of it because I am a Muslim woman and I don't wear hijab. And so it's just literal. Also, I just wanted to like create space. Like one of my favorite jokes on the, it's an early joke on a special is, you know, a lot of people say that I'm not Muslim because I don't wear hijab. And I say, well, this is a wig. So technically, you know, my
it is. It you is. Thank you very much.
And so I really wanted to create space for all of the different Muslim women identities. You know, there's so many of us that are very proud Muslim women and how we present that is very different. And I think that there's space for all of it and nobody owns a faith. And then the last thing, it's just a pun. You know, when you tell, they don't say it anymore. But people used to say hats off, and hats off was a compliment. Hats off was you did well. I'm proud of you. Congratulations. I take my hat off to you because you did something so great. And that was my way of kind of like, you know, doing like a play on words. My friend Muhammad, he actually dared me. He was like, I dare you to name it Hijabs Off.
Why was that so controversial?
I mean, there's certain regions where the special isn't available because they wanted me to change the title. So, you know, if you feel a certain way, if you're one of those people that are like, you're not Muslim, you don't cover your hair, then you're probably one of those people that feel like Hijabs Off is, in Islam, we call it haram. Like, you know, speaking bad against the religion or against God, you know? And so he was like, I dare you to do it. And when I did it, when the announcement came out, he was the first one to call me. He was like,
I can't. I was kidding. I was kidding. I didn't know you were really going to do it. I didn't mean to dare you.
I was like, wait, did you not think he was like, I mean, you know, it's a fantastic title, but I didn't think you would go through with it. And I'm like, it's perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. Got a champion and carry champion. That girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
How do you feel, in all candidness, about speaking about what's happening in the Middle East?
I don't feel great about it because I don't. Well, what I can say with, you know, no question is that it's awful.
Yeah.
But I do feel like most people want you to take a side. And because people want you to take a side, it doesn't matter what you say, you'll be attacked. You know, like I don't, especially when it first happened, I didn't even feel like I had enough information to speak on it. So I would repost things from people who I felt like were adequately informed and educated of those specific backgrounds. You know what I'm saying? Like very close to that region and that, like, I mean, literal ties to the people there, you know, on both sides, and the education, the knowledge that, like, you know, they've been talking about it. I thought that I was doing a good job of posting adequate, fair, objective, but still very solid and respectful and empathetic post. And still I received, you know, pretty disrespectful messages and pretty unreasonable requests, you know? So one night I got on stage after being cursed out a couple of times via my DMs, and I got on stage at the Laugh Factory in LA, and I was like, you know, if I say I feel bad for Palestinians, then, you know, my Jewish fans are going to be like, you asshole, shut the F up. And if I say I feel bad for, you know, people in Israel, then, you know, my Muslim fans are going to be like, Astaghfirullah. And so now we just talking about titties tonight. We only talk about titties.
For sure. It's the safest thing to discuss right about now. Yes, for sure. And for sure.
You know?
That was fair of you. And I do feel like, I was reading an article today in the Hollywood Reporter, and Brian Setler was saying, that they want reporters to take a side, and you can't report the information without seeming like you're taking a side. And right now, for me, it's a war on misinformation. I don't know what to believe. I don't know. Everything is so extreme. I know what to believe. I know death is wrong. The killing of innocent people is completely wrong. That's the one thing I can tell you right now. But you're right. We can't take it. But I, I would like to ask you, as a Muslim, do you feel that oftentimes there is a quiet and then other times a not so quiet ism towards you when people find out?
Oh, there's definitely, I think it's overt. I think if you go, I do want to acknowledge that sometimes we see a lot of hate, but the positive always outweighs it. You know, like when I think about all of the Muslim, both men and women, that come to me and tell me how funny I am, how much they feel seen, like I don't want that to go unnoticed. But if you look under any post, any joke where I mention that I am Muslim, if you look under it, you're going to see I'm called the N-word a good amount of times. You're going to see that someone is saying that I don't have any, you know, it's like, you know, they're going to judge me like, oh, look at her. You know, like, I mean, it's the very reason why I named my special Hijabs Off. It's the very reason why I have to bring levity to that. It's the very reason why I have to write jokes about it, you know? So, yeah, I mean, racism and sexism, any prejudice exists. It doesn't. I tell a wonderful joke in my special. Forgive me for. But I tell a wonderful, wonderful joke about.
That's the whole point. This is we're promoting the special.
I mean, it's because I do an act out on the special. It's so funny when I watch it. When I did it in the moment, it surprised me. But you know, I grew up in Harlem, which is like in New York, one of the Black Meccas. I would even say in this country, you know, at one point. And I grew up in the masjid and surrounded by Muslims. And so I just thought we were all Muslims. I knew Sunni Muslims. I knew Nation of Islam Muslims. I knew Somalian Muslims. I knew Senegalese Muslims. I knew Arab Muslims. I knew Black Muslims. I knew white Muslims, you know? So I just thought we are Muslims. That is what we are, right? Then 9/11 happened and I learned the word Islamophobia, you know, I was a teenager, you know, I learned the word Islamophobia and I'm like, oh, okay, the world's not messing with Muslims now, you know? And so I need to like stay inside. I need to protect myself. And I was right there. I'm in the city where this horrific thing happened, you know? And I remember my friend called me and was like, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. Like, did your father put you on punishment or something? And I'm like, no, you know, it's like they hate Muslims. So I got to stay inside for a little while. And she was like, girl, you Black. Yeah. 5 minutes later, I was outside jumping double dutch.
We heard.
Yeah. You know, so but right. I do like to bring attention to that because in the United States specifically, the growth of Muslims in the United States is attributed to African Americans. It's attributed to Black people. It's not because a bunch of Arabs or Indians or Asians like that. It's not because so many of them are coming over. And no. It's because there's a growing number of Black Americans who are, one, at some point in my history, we've converted, and now we're birthing kids and teaching our kids this faith, you know?
Was that the case for you? Your mother and your father were Muslim, or you became Muslim on your own?
Yeah. No, my mother and father were Muslim. They were both born Christian, and then they converted, and then they had Muslim, they raised us. We were born and raised Muslim.
I love the story of, for someone who grew up on the other side of the world, literally, California seems like another world. Growing up in Pasadena, you know where that is, like another side of the world. For you to describe Harlem as Black Mecca in this country, in this world, right? It is a beautiful space. And for your experience to only feel like it was only us, you know what I mean? Yeah. That is a beautiful experience. And then we realize sooner than later, that's not the case. Do you find that you must use your platform to talk about who you are in this space, a Black Muslim woman working in a world that doesn't necessarily know you in an intimate way, but knows you from what you share?
Yeah, I think it's necessary. Maybe necessary isn't the word, but I would feel like I wasted the time in the space if I did not share who I am, because I often watch things. When I was a kid, I did not have one representation of a Black Muslim woman on TV until I saw the movie Malcolm X. Where I saw his wife. And so I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't even really see Muslim women. But if by off chance you catch an episode of Law and Order and they got a quote unquote terrorist episode, then you might see an Arab Muslim woman, right? But other than that, I had no representation, nothing to aspire to, you know, nothing. I love a different world. I absolutely love a different world. If I rewrote a different world right now, I would give them a Black Muslim character on the show that wasn't a trope, that wasn't selling bean pies and, do you know what I'm saying? You know, sure. And acting hotepy, somebody who is just like their other characters, but also is of this faith, you know? And so I feel like because I didn't have that, who am I to come out here, take up this space, work so hard to take up space, create a space, and not make it so that someone like me has someone to look to?
Absolutely.
It just seems pointless if I'm not doing that.
I agree. And I'm glad that you're doing it in such a beautiful, elegant way. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with you, but I'm past the plate. Where's the plate? We're going to take a collection. You and the preaching. People can watch it now. I know that you touch on so many various things, but I think it's important, and I wanted to highlight what is special about you. And there are so many things, but I do believe we should honor you as a Muslim woman and what you are doing. And I don't want there to be any phobias around that. I think your success is a testament to the fact that we have to learn eventually that we all are the same, no matter how much we want to feel like. And when is the strike over? Do you got any inside information on that? Can you tell me when it's over?
I don't have any inside information on when the SAG strike is over. I'm sure we all want it to end, because we'd love to get back to work. We'd love to know what's happening with our lives in the world of film and television, right? We'd love to know that. I'd love to see new things. I mean, it's great for my comedy album because it's like there's not a lot of new stuff coming out, you know, my comedy special. But you know, you don't go on strike for nothing.
That's right.
And so, you know, we have to come out of this feeling like the sacrifice was not for no reason.
That you have been rewarded, that you were treated fairly. Yeah. I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with that. Zainab, thank you for coming on my show.
Thank you for the patience. It's just been beautiful. I'm just celebrating you quietly in my heart. It's like pitter patter. I'm really excited. And it's not just because of your special, but I've been watching and I've been seeing. And I'm like, look at my girl. I see her. I see you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Affirming. That is what I will say about Miss Zainab Johnson. I appreciate her honesty, too, because I would be remiss if I just didn't say this about the war in the Middle East right now. People do want you to pick a side. You can't have a conversation about what's happening in Israel with someone saying you are pro this or anti that. And the reality is, and I'm keeping this as clean as I can be, no one who is innocent should have to die, period. Whatever side you're on, I know you can agree with that. Innocent people are dying. And that is sad, and it's unfortunate, and it's so graphic. And there's so much misinformation out there that I don't truly believe, living in the United States of America, we can really understand what's happening a world away. There are those who do have connections to that region and do understand. I'm speaking as someone who doesn't understand. So I share Zainab's sentiment. I just do not want innocent people to die. It's just that simple. And it's unfortunate that you can't have this conversation with nuance. I thank Zainab for coming on the podcast today. I thank you for listening. I ask you to support her special, Hijabs Off. Again, it's on Prime.
And thank you for subscribing. Remember, leave us a rating. Tell us you love it. We appreciate you. I'll talk to y'all next week.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.